Hello and welcome to Real Talk. I'm your host, Susan McCabe, here with you every Tuesday at lunchtime to talk about whatever interests me and hopefully you, dear listener. We seek to answer questions large and small here on Real Talk, and I hope that you will send me questions that you're interested in at realtalk@voiceofvashon.org. This is the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington. And today our question could be the biggest one there is. I'm here with psychic, past life psychic, author, and spiritual teacher Ainsley MacLeod. Welcome, Ainsley.
Great to be here. Thank you, Susan.
Ainsley, you're here to tell us about your Old Souls Guidebook, which is the third book you've written. And I want to open our show with the opening statement in your book.
Okay.
It says, because your mind, body, and spirit are inseparable, your soul's lifetimes of experience affect every aspect of who you are, from your personality and beliefs to your talents and fears. Without knowing who you were, you can never truly know who you are. That's a mouthful.
Well, it really is. It kind of sums up everything about what I do.
So for those of our listeners who don't know what you do, this is, I know, your third book.
Right.
Can you give us a summary of the two foundational books that kind of built up to this, and they were The Instruction and The Transformation? How do they work as a foundation for the Old Souls Guidebook?
Because they are leading up to this. So the first one is The Instruction, Living the Life Your Soul Intended. So I wrote that based on a system that, as a psychic, I kind of downloaded from the other side, started using in my work, doing sessions, readings with people. And it really is it's a system that helps us to understand why we're here, who we are, why we're here. It's really, if you like, it's your destiny. It can be figured out. There's a system for understanding the elements that go into your life plan, which is something that your soul creates before you're born. So we all come here with we're like fully loaded computers, you know. We come here, you can't see it, but we have goals, we have missions, we have a complete personality. That's the exciting thing, I think, and the biggest thing that I think most people take away from The Instruction is that you come here with a personality already formed, if you like. I've always maintained that people who think babies are born as blank slates have never met one.
Because, that's true. You know, yeah, or carried one.
Right. You know, they come in, you know, with the personality that they want for the voyage. So the book explores that and some of the blocks and issues that get in the way. Part of the principle is that we have multiple lifetimes and we build on who we are. That, you know, at this point, you as an old soul might have, say, 120 lifetimes behind you. And they've all played a part in shaping who you are.
How do I know if I'm an old soul?
Well, you ask a psychic like me, or or there are some signs. If you think of it, the soul's journey from being a very young soul to a very old soul takes it from a place of me to we, or from fear to love, then one of the signs that you're an old soul is a greater concern for others, a greater altruism, and concern for the environment. So how it shows up is usually the older soul tends to be a little bit more progressive politically, more concerned about social issues and not just their own thing. So
you write that the soul, once you pass from a lifetime, kind of goes back and forms a personality that's appropriate for your next lifetime. How does that work? How does my personality contribute to what my soul has to learn in this lifetime?
Well, it's all very connected because, you know, who you are is why you're here. And so the personality that you choose is to do with the plan that you have, the voyage that you're on. And a big part of the instruction is talking about soul age and soul types, which are the elements of the personality. What I find great about the system is that there are just 10 soul types, these personality types, if you like, or archetypes. But they're based on your function in the tribe or who you were in previous lifetimes. And with there being only 10 of them, it's actually easy to figure it out. It's not like this. I mean, although we seem very diverse and very complex, it all comes down to these 10 soul types. But it's to do with the combination, how we combine them. So when you start to understand that, you can see how you're put together. And for example, if you know that you're a creator type, very creative, knowing that will help to, for a lot of people, maybe validate that they're here to do creative work. Or if you're here as an educator, that you're here as a teacher, for example.
But how, I mean, that sounds almost like astrology. Astrology gives us 12 types.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying there are 10 soul types. How is that different from astrology or apparently with the combination? So can you give us an example of a combined soul type? Someone who might be a creator and something else?
Sure, absolutely. I'll show you how this works. So if I was working with somebody, I wouldn't just look at a single soul type. I mean, that tells you something about who they are. But a typical client might, I'll give you an example from my last client, somebody I spoke to an hour ago. And this person is a spiritualist type. That's that means as a spiritualist, she's here to find meaning in her life. She's looking to make a difference. In her case, that was the big question. You know, what am I here to do? She wants to be of service in some sort of higher, more sort of elevated way. That the spiritualists, and most of my clients are spiritualist types, they are here to find meaning, looking for the higher purpose. In past lives, they've been healers or maybe shamans or priests. There's a connection between the healing and spiritual world that you'll see. We've lost that a little bit with Western medicine, but you know, it doesn't mean that every spiritualist is meant to be a healer, but they're meant to do something that improves the world. So that search for a higher purpose is a very common thing for, you know, amongst people I talk with. But you put in a primary influence like this woman has of a hunter type. Now, back in the tribe, the hunter is responsible for the survival of the tribe and literally hunting, outdoorsy, very physical. So when I asked her about that, I said, you know, you expect you to have a lot of masculine energy. She goes, yes, I've been told that many times. And I said, and you need a lot of physical exercise. And she talked about hiking, working out every day. She's, you know, very, very physical as a result of that. And then I can throw in a few other examples, you know, there's other soul types, other influences.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The great thing is that it's very simple because it's you have a soul type, core of who you are, primary influence of one of the other nine, and then some secondary influences that give flavor to that. One of hers is the educator, many lifetimes as a teacher, and she's very drawn to impart knowledge and empower others in this life.
So how do you access an individual's past lives? What process do you use to gain these very specific stories?
Well, the way I do it is, for about 20 years, I've been working with spirit guides on the other side, if you like. And I had an experience that sort of opened me up to all of this. I went from being a total skeptic to something of a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Although it was a gradual process, it was like there was this one moment that really just opened me up to the whole thing, and it was all connected with doing this kind of work. So I started communicating with spirit guides and practiced for about 3 years until I felt good enough to be able to read people, and that sort of took off. So really where I get all my information from is from these spirit guides. So I'm just the messenger in a way. What I do is I get the info and I process and interpret it for people. I had very early in my career thought I had to do regressions. I thought, oh, this is the way you do past lives. I was so bored. I mean, within minutes, you know, like,
really?
Like long relaxation, and then people sort of, you know, sitting there going, oh, I think I see a tree, and I'm going, oh my God, this cannot be my career, you know, beam me up. And I'm already getting all the stuff, so I'm just going, okay, right, this happened and that happened. And then what I found was, and this leads really to my second book, The Transformation,
yes,
which has so much to do with past lives and the importance of reincarnation, is that I found that by uncovering a past life for somebody, it led to amazing healing. So that, you know, I would tell somebody about a past life where they'd been hanged, for example, and the next time we spoke, their lifetime of neck pain had disappeared or something like that. You know, so it was very directly related to trauma.
That's fascinating to me. And my next question was going to be, why do you do this work? How would you describe your life purpose?
Well, my life purpose is really to help other people to find their life purpose. I mean, I was wandering around for so long in my life, kind of like just bouncing from one thing to the next. I'm not really, was very undisciplined, unguided. And, you know, I always had some sort of just, you know, feeling like I should be doing this, should be doing that. But it's, doing this helped to give me like a real focus, and you know, this is what I'm meant to be doing at this point in my life. It's not the only thing. You know, some people think their life purpose is this holy grail, it's this one thing they should be doing.
Yeah.
But we're complex people. It's often many things that we should be experiencing in this life that are part of our life plan. But it's really about helping others to understand who they are and really maximizing their experience of being here on the physical plane.
And do you find that it leads toward emotional and even physical healing when people get clear on what how their past lives are affecting their current life?
Emotional, physical, and spiritual. It's the mind-body-spirit combination that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be that because they're connected, this is actually like a real fundamental principle, that the soul can't separate mind, body, and spirit. It sees itself as it's all part of the whole. And this is why when we get a physical issue, that it can lead to depression, or maybe say we get depressed and it can lead to physical illness.
You address that in your new book, The Old Soul's Guidebook, on page 84. Would you be willing to read that excerpt? It's really interesting.
I certainly will. Okay, this is section called One Long Life. Your soul has a fundamental problem. You might be on life 120, but your soul is not. Your physical body may return to dust on the completion of each incarnation, but your soul keeps on going. From your soul's perspective, this is life number one. It's been conscious throughout all your incarnations, and what happened 5,000 years ago is still fresh in its memory. Think of it this way. If a dog bit you when you were a child in this life, you might get anxious around dogs now. In the same way, your soul worries that whatever happened before, even 1,000 years ago, is going to happen again. You'd think your soul would have all the answers, but it doesn't. Even after endlessly repeating the cycle of life and death, it has to be reminded that what happened in the past was in another lifetime, that that was then and this is now, which is the key to healing.
And so that sounds to me like your purpose, if it's kind of arrogant for me to even suggest that I would know that, but the healing part.
Yeah.
That you're here to heal. So when you took your test for soul type, did you come out healer or did you come out spiritual?
Well, actually, it's really weird because most of my clients have like, you know, quite a lot of things going on, you know.
Uh-huh.
they've got usually a soul type, primary influence, some secondary influences, you know, quite a few sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have three elements in there. I'm a creator type, the primary thinker influence, and secondary spiritualist influence. And how that works is that I'm very creative. I've been an artist mm-hmm. for a big chunk of my life, musician.
Great bass player.
Thank you very much. And I have that thinker, rational part very strongly. It was partly why it took me so long to embark on this particular path, because I was kind of overthinking it and so skeptical and questioning. And the spiritualist part, which is about healing. So it's about seeing improvement. And, you know, I literally get, you know, emails and people contacting me every day thanking me for, you know, the overcoming these physical, spiritual and emotional things, you know, these blocks, things that get in the way.
And clearly you would have had to be very analytical as you looked back into this system of soul progression. You're listening to Real Talk on the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Susan McCabe, here with past life psychic, author, and spiritual teacher Ainsley MacLeod. And we can do this thanks to the generosity of Windermere Real Estate, who supports all our community information programming, and they make our emergency alert service possible. Ainsley, you have appeared on Oprah. And Dr. Oz is endorsing your new book, The Old Soul's Guidebook.
Mm-hmm.
That says something to me about science. And you mentioned that you had to look back and discover this system of soul progression. One of the things that interested me in going through your book was that you said souls entered humans 55,000 years ago.
That's what I'm told. I mean,
how'd you figure that out?
Well, again, I have spirit guides to, you know, it's just that's what I've been informed.
Mm-hmm.
So that there was a big shift, a shift in consciousness. They talk about going from a stage two consciousness to stage three about 55,000 years ago, and that we're going through another shift now, that it's, you know, it's just elevating our consciousness. It sometimes doesn't look like it when you observe what's happening in the world right now. But there are a lot of people starting to really get interested in spirituality and getting more concerned about things like the environment, like I mentioned before, you know, seeking to improve the world.
Would it be outrageous to assume that if we started with human souls 55,000 years ago and each of those souls has been progressing over 55,000 years, that maybe a whole bunch of souls have reached old soul level?
Well, yes. I mean, there are a lot of old souls on the planet. Of course, we've got an ever-increasing population.
Yeah, I wondered about that.
One of the things is that old souls split off to be in multiple places, trying to maintain some sort of balance there. So it's not a 95% young soul world. And that's a bit of a weird thing for a lot of people to get their heads around.
Yeah.
You know, that your soul can be in different places. But, and it also can lead to speedy growth. Imagine your soul's getting 5 lifetimes of experience in one go.
Oh. That's interesting.
Yeah. Actually, if you're an old soul now, you've probably been around for maybe, you know, back and forth from the physical plane to the astral plane between lives, for something like 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 years. You wouldn't have been around for all that
55,000
years now.
Okay. Well, Dr. Oz is endorsing your system,
right?
Which makes me ask the question, obviously he's all for it.
Yeah.
He accepts the science of it. I think his comment was, you have done more soul work than almost anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to skeptics who say, you know, this is like astrology, this is Valderall, what do you tell people?
Absolutely nothing. I just don't engage. I mean, it's, this is something I learned very early on when I started doing this, because I was so excited when I discovered I could talk to the other side, and I'm going, oh my God, you know, I want to tell the world. It's like, you know, I went from being an atheist to, you know, talking to spirit guides, you know, practically overnight. And, You know, I was like an evangelist, you know, I want to tell everybody, there's a whole world out there, and, you know, this is amazing. And, you know, I realized I wasn't getting anywhere with a lot of people. And it's, so I encounter skepticism. And, you know, what I do, I'm very happy to share stories, but I don't feel any need to proselytize or try to convince anybody of anything. It's just not my place, you know. So just keep that energy for people who are interested and intrigued or want to learn more.
How, if at all, do you see your work intersecting with religions or with psychology or with astrology, other belief systems?
Well, it's kind of weird because I don't see it as being connected to religion whatsoever. I don't see it being a philosophy. But I actually, my first book went to number one in theology just a couple of months ago.
Oh,
which
really?
Much surprised me. So, and somebody told me just recently that there's a client whose rabbi teaches from my first book. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Certainly a lot of therapists use the instruction. You know, my feeling is it's just a teaching. It's just my understanding. It's what I've downloaded from the other side.
I love that analogy, that you've downloaded it from the other side.
Right. Yeah.
So who are these folks? Who are these spirit guides?
These folks on the other side. Well, when I first made the connection, it was with my uncle. He actually appeared to me in a bookstore in Hawaii, just momentarily. He was there for about a second, just about a foot away from me. And just with a clear message about working together. And I'd heard from numerous psychics that I should be working with my uncle. And, you know, he was an atheist. I was an atheist. He'd been dead for about 10 years at that point. And, you know, I thought the spirit guide was the last thing he'd want to be. And yeah, there he was. And so he very quickly, he was my first point of contact.
Mm-hmm.
And we spoke for a few days. And then he said, look, you know, it's nice to reconnect, but I want to pass you on to these other spirit guides. So they're just on a slightly different level. So the ones that I work with, a lot of spirit guides are ones who, like grandma, you know, people that you've known before in this life, they're on the other side, they want to help you. But the ones I work with are beyond that. They've had all the lives on the physical plane. And their purpose is... You know, what the difference I found is that those on the astral plane are concerned about just often reassurance, you know, that life continues and knowing what's happening and very practical things to do in your life. Whereas the ones that I work with, they're all about the big picture. It's about where you've been, the many lifetimes you've had, how they've shaped who you are, because who you are, you know, is really dependent so much on who you were. And so understanding where you're going, what's in your highest interest, what's in your life plan, what your soul's seeking to accomplish in this life. So bigger picture stuff.
Along those lines, can you give us some examples of past life experiences and how they might show up in this life?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I've got one from my new book.
Mm-hmm.
This is a client who, she was actually a young guy in the past life. It was during World War II. She was on the back of a ship, or he was on the back of a ship when it was torpedoed, or there was an explosion. He ended up in the ocean, and what I was getting was about this person being thrown around like a rag doll and being, unfortunately, it sounds really horrible, but so many past lives do end horribly.
Mm-hmm.
Being drawn into the ship's propeller. And there was something else that was significant. It was about looking up, seeing the sea on fire, and looking down and seeing darkness, and being sort of caught between these two places. And when I asked my client about it, she said, well, I've always felt that I'm helpless, like, you know, the rag doll kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Always kind of that place of, you know, like, spinning around but not able to go in any particular direction. She was married to a very abusive guy. One of the things I often say is that my spirit guides don't tell people what to do. They'll guide them to make decisions because you're here to exercise free will. So they're not going to generally tell you if you should leave or stay in a relationship. But they were very insistent that she, and they'll do this when somebody's being abused, they'll say, you know, you really need to get out. But she was kind of unable at that time to do anything about it. She just felt trapped. And the other significant thing related to the swirling about is that she's suffered from vertigo for years.
Interesting.
And also the really bizarre thing is she had a huge fear of propellers. And, you know, this is
pretty direct.
Yeah, isn't it? She said she'd go to the beach with her kids and she was always lecturing them on the dangers of propellers. And, you know, so she had said, and this is very common with a past life ailment, like, well, in this case, vertigo, that doctors couldn't figure it out. There didn't seem to be any medical reason for this. And after her soul heard about the past life, you know, I mentioned before in that bit that I read, that you have to remind the soul that that was then and this is now. And it's when you do that, it's like not with a bang, but with a whimper, the soul kind of goes, oh, okay, all right, it's a past life issue. All right, okay, I'll let that go. You know, something could have been with you. Yeah. So she, not only, she said it was 1 week from the call, she said she was able to lay down. There was no vertigo, it completely went. And this is after, you know, years of that. And she was able to get rid of the abusive husband. You know, life completely turned around as a result of that.
So she stopped being helpless.
Yeah. Yeah. That's absolutely right.
And you say our spirit guides. So are you saying that all of us have spirit guides?
Yeah, we all have them.
How do we access those?
Well, this is something that I get asked all the time. Usually 59 minutes into a 60-minute session, when somebody asks me, who are my spirit guides and how can I contact them?
Uh-huh.
It's actually quite a big question. But the most important thing, I think it helps to you know, people say, well, you know, do I have to believe in this stuff? And no, not at all. But it does sort of help a little bit, you know, if you assume there are spirit guides, talk to them. You know, actually, this is one of the weirdest things for me when I was told that my Uncle John wanted to work with me and they appeared. And, you know, it's like sitting down there like a week later and just going, okay, well, I'll give it a try. And hello, John, are you there? And, you know, finding that I was getting some communication back and was very rudimentary at the time. I mean, I've developed a method that's much faster, much more direct. It's more like having a fast conversation with somebody now. But back then it was very slow and staccato, if you like.
And you actually hear a voice speaking to you? Or
it's very hard. It's called clairaudience. I wish it were. I've certainly known one psychic guy I went to see long before I did this stuff, who actually had a voice in his ear. And he's very much like, you know, he's hearing it very audibly. I would say it's like, for me, it's a knowing. And in the moment that I'm getting something, there's nothing else in my head. It's a complete sentence. But it's not exactly audible.
So you have to be able to clear your head of other thoughts, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So before I work with somebody, I'll do a short meditation and working with spirit guides, what I do is I formally bring them in. I ask them to be with me and protect me and my client as we communicate and just start from there.
We're almost out of time, Ainsley MacLeod, and I'm delighted to be speaking with you about your new book, Old Souls Guidebook. We've been talking with past life psychic and author and spiritual teacher, Ainsley MacLeod. In the 1 minute that we have left, can you tell us how the Old Souls Guidebook is different from your first two books, The Instruction and The Transformation? What am I going to get out of reading this
absolutely
book?
Well, if you've read The Instruction or The Transformation, it's going to take that to another level because it does certainly builds on that. And I do address some of the topics, soul ages, soul types, past lives and so on in this. But we go into other things like the effects of karma, for example, and other aspects of your life plan.
And I noticed there are exercises in there too for one to kind of go a little deeper. Is that what it is?
Absolutely.
To examine their past lives?
Yeah, so
the impacts that they might be having on... could I come to you and say, I have had this neck pain for years, or I have had this fear of blah, blah, blah for years. Can you help me?
Yes, absolutely.
And how do we get in touch with you?
You can get in touch with me on my website, which is ainsleymacleod.com. That's ainsleymacleod.com.
I, because you're a Celt. I wonder if that's something about your spirituality.
Maybe.
Thank you so much for being with
us. Thank you, Susan. Thank you so much.
And thank you for listening to Real Talk. I'm Susan McCabe, your host. We're here every Tuesday at lunchtime to answer questions large and small and hopefully satisfy both my curiosity and yours, dear listener. Send your questions to realtalk@voiceofvashon.org and stay tuned to KVSH. You never know what you're going to get at 101.9 FM.